Thessalonians 5, if we could, this morning. Book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And just be encouraged from God's Word. Trust Him to use it in our lives. So right after God reveals to us again the importance of the upcoming rapture, which is in chapter 4, right at the end of chapter 4, He says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." We're to use the Word of God to comfort one another. And right after telling us about the rapture, He goes on to then talk to us as Christians about how we should be behaving until the rapture. Here in beginning in chapter 5, verse 1, He says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." So I'm going to take my title from verse 6, "Let us not sleep." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray You use Your Word in our lives this morning to grow us, to teach us, to change us, to comfort us, encourage us, whatever the need might be. We are trusting You, Lord, to overpower this service with Your presence and with Your powerful Word. And Lord, may we leave changed today, saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We love You, and we give this service to You. May You be glorified in every aspect of it. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So Paul here is encouraging us as Christians after telling us about the rapture in chapter 4. He says, now until the rapture comes, and once the rapture comes, we'll be in heaven. We'll be with Jesus, and we'll be with the living Word of God. But until that day, God has given us some instructions on what we need to be doing until it comes. And that's why he says there in verse 1, "Of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." One of the things that was happening to the church at Thessalonica is they were constantly being challenged doctrinally. And so these two books, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Paul had to correct some false doctrines, some false teachings. And one of the false teachings was, well, Jesus isn't going to come back. Or it's already happened. By the way, some of the cults say that. Some of them say, well, he already came back and we just missed it. Other ones say, well, he's not going to come back. He's coming back. It's mentioned over 300 times in the New Testament that Jesus is coming back. He said, "I will come again," in John chapter 14, "and receive you unto myself." And so Paul is saying, you already know, brethren, I've already told you Jesus is coming back. And he says, but it's going to come as a thief in the night. The rapture is going to catch people unawares. It's going to be instantaneous, as we know. You can read about it in your spare time there in chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. But the Bible says that it will be like the twinkling of an eye in 1 Corinthians 15. It'll be instantaneous. Jesus will come. We'll be with Him in the clouds. We're gone. Imagine what it'll be like on the earth. But we'll be gone. And it's going to come like a thief in the night. And when it does, God wants us to be ready. And that's what this passage is all about, to be ready, to be expecting it. Because as it says in chapter 4, verse 17, at the end of the verse, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Once the rapture comes, those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ, from that moment, forever, we will be with Jesus. Imagine, forever. We can't even imagine what that means. But forever, we will be with Jesus. And so he's trying to tell us our life is short. We don't know. We might only have one more day. It could come tomorrow. But he wants us to be ready. If you would go to Mark chapter 13, the Lord Jesus Christ also encouraged us to expect it, to be ready for it, to allow it to affect our lives. Notice Mark 13 and down to verse 35, if you would. In talking about his coming being like a thief in the night, he says here in Mark 13:35, He says, "Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." That's the title of my message. Let us not sleep. That's the last thing that Jesus wants to find when he comes back, is Christians sleeping. Now, I hope you understand he's not talking about literally sleeping. He knows we need 8 hours of sleep a night at least. He knows he designed us that way physically. He's talking about spiritually sleeping. He's talking about cruising until the rapture, not serving Jesus, not putting him first, not giving him your all, just sleeping, not being ready for Jesus to come back. So he's given us some instructions. They start there in verse 3 of our passage, 1 Thessalonians 5. The first instruction he gives us in verse 3, he says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." The first thing God wants us to be doing is warning others that it's happening, that it's coming. Because once it happens, it's done. It will catch people unawares. There will be sudden destruction. I mean, not only will there be the instantaneous destruction of all the Christians disappearing, some of them will be flying a plane, some of them will be driving a truck, some of them will be driving a car. Imagine what's going to happen when they're all gone. So there's going to be this instantaneous destruction, but then begins the tribulation period, Revelation 6 through 18, of just plagues and destruction and attacks and death. It's going to be terrible. So what do we need to be doing? We need to be telling others. It's coming. It's real. The same Jesus who came and lived and died and rose again is coming again. He's promised us this. And we need to warn others. Because he says what's going to happen, verse 3, people are going to be saying, "Oh, peace and safety. It's all good." It's not all good. The world is getting worse, as we know. The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And it's coming. So look at Luke 21, if you would. Jesus, again speaking about his return. And I want you to see another warning that he gives. And I believe he's speaking to believers here in this passage. Luke 21, verse 34. He says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." We not only need to be warning the unsaved that if they aren't ready, they'll be left behind, but we need to be warning other Christians who are not living for Jesus, so that it doesn't come upon them unawares. He said, "You mean there's Christians involved in surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life?" Absolutely, unfortunately. They need to be warned that Jesus is coming back, and they need to be preparing for it. They need to be ready for it. They need to be expecting it. And of course, the unsaved, we need to tell them. You know, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they all might be saved who trusted the gospel." We've got to be warning people that Jesus is coming back. And so that's the first thing. First instruction, if you will, of preparing for the rapture. Number two is found in verse 4 of our passage. He says, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." The second thing God's telling us here is don't be overtaken. Another word for that might be the word ashamed. You mean there could be Christians that are ashamed when Jesus comes back? Sadly, yes. But we can plan ahead for that. If we're putting Jesus first, if we're keeping short accounts with God, if we're serving the Lord with all we have, we won't be ashamed. And we won't be overtaken. But it can happen. As Jesus said, "For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." He tells us that over and over again. Now if you look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, the Bible says there actually will be some Christians who will be ashamed at His coming. God is saying, don't be overtaken. Don't be ashamed at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Be prepared. So not only to be warning others, but we are to be prepared, preparing for that day. Notice 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. It's going to be one or the other. It's going to be confidence or it's going to be shame. And He's talking to Christians. The unsaved, they're just left behind. And the world's going to come up with some sort of crazy explanation. I don't know, it'll be aliens or what, but they'll come up with something. Honestly, we'll be out of here. So we really won't care. But when the day comes, as a Christian, are we going to be overtaken? Are we going to be ashamed? Or are we going to be waiting with confidence? Looking. You know, as John wrote at the very end of his last book, "Even so, come Lord Jesus." John said, "I'm ready. I'm looking for Jesus to come back." That's what God wants us to be. Not overtaken, not be ashamed. You know, the Apostle Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." When Jesus returns, we shouldn't find Christians ashamed. Not only of their behavior, but of Him. You know, He bought us with His blood. He gave us eternal life. He gave us a home in heaven. The least we can do is not be ashamed of Him. Tell others about Him. So firstly, we need to be warning others. Secondly, don't be overtaken. Don't be ashamed. Be ready. Thirdly, look at verse 5 of our passage. It says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." The third thing He says, I want you to walk a certain way until I come back. I want you to walk like a child of light. Essentially, He wants us to walk like we already are doctrinally. Because the day we were saved, we were translated from darkness to light. And we became children of light. Look at Ephesians 5:8, and I'll show you this. Because, you know, the Bible teaches that we were born in trespasses and sins. We were born in darkness. When we were born physically, we were born dead. Our spirit was dead. Now, our body was alive. And our soul, you know, us as a person, but we were born spiritually dead. And if we don't get saved, we die physically, but we stay dead spiritually and forever. And then death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. But the day we get saved, we are alive. Notice Ephesians 5:8. "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." The third thing Paul wants us to do to get ready for the return of Jesus Christ is to walk as children of light. That's what Jesus meant when He said in Matthew 5:16, He says, "Let your light so shine before men." Let your light so shine. He said, "You're the light of the world," Matthew 5:14. He wants us to be shining for Jesus. He wants us to be walking as children of light. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." It's one thing to be in the light doctrinally. It's another thing to be actually walking in the light practically every day. And those are two different things. You can be born again and walking like a child of darkness. It's sad but true. And God will deal with it. God will eventually chastise you. God will woo you back to Himself in any way He deems necessary. But until that time comes, wouldn't it be better just to repent because the goodness of God leads us to repentance? Because God's done so much for us, and say, "I need to do the right thing. I need to be walking like a child of light." And Paul says, this is one of the ways to prepare. Just get up every day and say, "You know what? Today I'm going to walk like a Christian. I'm going to walk as Jesus walked." What a difference would that make in a lot of lives? Look at Romans chapter 13, if you would, and verse 12. Paul here again warning us that this day is coming. And notice what he says, Romans 13:12. "The night is far spent," he says. "The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So firstly, Paul says, I want you to warn others. It's coming. Secondly, don't let that day overtake you. Don't be ashamed at the return of Jesus Christ. Be confident. Thirdly, walk as a child of light. Fourthly, verse 6, let us not sleep. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. What does that mean? Let us not sleep. Well, you know, the Bible says we're to be faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Jesus says when we see him in heaven that our hope is that he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God wants us to, you know, what's the opposite of sleeping? Be awake. He wants us to awake. Look at Romans 13 again. This time, verse 11. Romans 13, 11, he says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Well, that's true for every Christian. Our salvation is always nearer than when we believed. It's always closer than the day we got saved. I mean, it still might be 100 years away, but it's still closer than the day when we got saved. What does he want us to do until that day comes? Awake. Let us not sleep. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. And an idle soul shall suffer hunger. What's God wanting? He wants us to get to work. He wants us to wake up and go to work. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know, Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He says, when I do return, am I going to find Christians ready? Am I going to find Christians serving me? Am I going to find Christians faithful? Or am I going to find a lot of Christians asleep on the job? And I think we all know the answer is he's going to find some Christians asleep. They're still going to heaven because that has nothing to do with our behavior. But they definitely will be ashamed when he comes. And by the way, there's no redos. Once it's done, it's done. We can't, oh Lord, I wasn't expecting you for about at least another year. Can I go back and have one more year to fix it up? It's done. Wouldn't we rather be found serving rather than sleeping when Jesus returns? That was number 4. Number 5 is found in verse 6 as well. He says, let us watch. Now this is a lot like the don't be overtaken, but this is specifically being expectant about the return of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would, in verse 7. Watching. Now, when we were talking to the young people in Awana last week, and explaining, that doesn't mean we walk around staring at the sky, because then we're going to stumble. We got to watch where we're going. So it doesn't mean that we're literally staring up into the sky, but it does mean that we are expecting it. Notice 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So part of our prayer life needs to be like John prayed, even so come Lord Jesus. You know, if we prayed that every day, it could have an effect on how our day goes. Because it would help us remember each day, you know what? Jesus could come back today. And he could. And if we're expecting it, if we're watching for it, will it have an effect on our lives? I believe it will. You know, 1 John 3:3 says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. What's the hope? The hope of his return. If you know Jesus could come back today, no, if you knew Jesus would come back tomorrow, would you change anything? If Jesus came down, sent a prophet, wrote it in the sky, whatever, and said, it's tomorrow, how many Christians would have to immediately make some major changes to be ready for tomorrow? God says, make the changes today because he is coming back. Watch. He said, whatsoever I say unto one, I say unto all, watch. Watch for Jesus. And then lastly, verse 6, be sober. And if you want to take it literally, that's fine. I don't believe he wants Christians to drink booze. But he's also talking here about spiritually. We're to be serious about our Christian lives. This isn't a game. We're not to be flippant about the reality and the seriousness of this spiritual battle that's going on here on this earth between the devil and the Lord. And we're involved in that battle. We're referred to as soldiers many times in the New Testament. We are part of that fight against evil. And how do we fight with the evil? With the Word of God. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 this time, if you would, where the Bible warns us about the importance of being sober and why. It starts off, 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, who do you think the devil's going to focus on? Who are the easiest for him to attack as a lion? Does he dive right into the middle of the pack and go after the strong ones? Or does he focus on the stragglers? And we know the answer to that. That's why he says be sober and be vigilant. Because he is like a roaring lion looking. And by the way, this was written to Christians. This wasn't written to the unsaved. They're already the devils. He says to Christians, be sober. This is real. This is the real thing. We really are fighting against principalities and powers and against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's real. We might not see them with our eyes, but it's genuinely real. And all we have is a sword. By the way, the most powerful sword in the universe, the Word of God, and prayer to a God that can do anything. Sounds like we have a lot. But if we're not sober, if we're not serious about it, then we won't be using those weapons against the devil. And God wants us to stand and to fight for the Lord Jesus Christ, who did everything for us and gave us everything as a gift. In return, he says, we are his workmanship created unto good works. Be sober. And so Paul encourages us in chapter 4 with the reminder of the coming rapture. But then he says, until that day, I want you to warn others. I want you to not be overtaken. I want you to walk as a child of light. I want you to not sleep. I want you to watch. I want you to be sober. You should be serious about the Christian life. And how often are we supposed to do this? Every minute of every day. And how long? Until we hear the trumpet. Or he takes us home. And then it won't matter because we'll be home. Let us not sleep. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you.